And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. Merry Christmas to everybody. Sorry, I didn't have any other podcasts for you last week. Totally my fault. Really my internet provider's fault because they cut my internet line. And I lost my internet for several days, and I was so miffed and so peeved. I did have to do the Daily Ding. I had to go to my in-laws' house to do that. I was just furious. But I've got my internet back now. We've got the pod back now. Glad to be back. If you're following us on YouTube, make sure that you're subscribed to that YouTube channel. And also, you can hit this little bell and you'll get notifications as to when we go live, and you can join us, which is always fun. With me as always on Mondays is Michele Ibarra. Michele, what's up?
We had a game. We had a real basketball game.
We had a real live basketball game. Shout out to Christos, who's always joining us on the stream from Greece. It's great. So glad that you could join us. The Thunder beat an awful Hornets team who would like to be good. They really would. They're really trying to be good. But that team sucks. Like, that team is terrible. It was just kind of infuriating to watch them. The Thunder beat this team. They shoot 40% from three, but only 39% from the field overall. And the Thunder shoot 27% from three, and the Thunder still beat them. It's because that team sucks, Michele. That team is terrible.
Yeah, that team is terrible, and the worst part is that they are not trying to be terrible. And this is when you know that everything is going awfully bad for a franchise, is when you have a plan and you are not executing it the right way. I mean, if you want to be good, just either wait 1 year or make like better moves.
Yeah.
Because like whatever they did, it's really not working. It's salvageable. I mean, you can always trade like Cody Zeller, Malik Monk, and Bismack Biyombo for Al Horford, to name one. Just take have him. Good players. Like, you have Rozier and Graham, and you cannot bank on one good season from them to build your future, especially when you have a rookie that looks good to play. And well, whatever.
They're infuriating.
It's Charlotte. It's just, yeah,
they're horrible. They're absolutely horrible. The Thunder are not absolutely horrible. Their bench, the Thunder bench, is super terrible. We've got Tank Commander Hamadou Diallo coming off the bench, missing shots, but grabbing his own, grabbing his own misses, which is just really funny. Miguel Davila, what's up from the Philippines? Thanks for joining.
Long-time listener, Miguel.
Long-time listener, yes. Yeah. Very active listener. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
Man, their bench is terrible, but their starting lineup is way too competent. Like, just way too competent. Everybody was good. Dort came back after looking kind of, I mean, actually, like, looking pretty bad in the preseason and looked like his old self. 15 points, 5 boards, 2 assists. He was great. George Hill, lights out. 8 of 9 from the field, 21 points, 3 assists, 4 boards. He was awesome. Horford missed. He took 5 shots, which is just like the most Al Horford thing he could have possibly done, is take 5 shots in 29 minutes. But he did it. He contributed in other ways. 13 rebounds, 3 assists, only 3 points. And then, like, the stars of the show, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 24 7-9, and then Darius Baisley 15-10. Dude, both have taken, it's one game, but I think that you can fairly conclude that they've both taken a leap. Shout out to Tim Rieger from Kansas.
Yeah, I mean, Shai, I think Shai did a lot of things that, like, they were there last season, and a few that weren't. I mean, the passing, the he made really a point of involving everyone in the offense. He willingly searched for open trees and stuff like that. And I think that with a normal, well, normal, with a league average, I'm not sure that league average will ever be normal for this team, but with a league average performance from three, you would probably got Shai in double-double.
Yeah.
Points and assists, and very close to a triple-double. Which, like, there were a few league-wide. Well, anyway, Basley, I mean, he's comfortably dribbling himself into a open pull-up from mid-range. And he has no doubt but to take that shot. He is into everything that he's doing. Like, he has no hesitation. He knows what to do. He's great on defense. He's gobbling rebounds. If he plays, like, 40 minutes, it's probably, like, something 20 plus 15, which is outrageous. He was just awesome. And defensively, he's not like a guy that doesn't care. He clearly cares. Now, he makes mistakes. Sure. Mm-hmm. Defensively, everyone will do. Against Hayward, sometimes you can make mistakes. The guy was an all-star. So you're allowed to make mistakes on defense. But offensively, I mean, again, I have to really look back. But he was very, very good. I didn't see many mistakes from him.
No, but he's becoming the guy that we kind of hoped he could be. And we've seen it from guys in the past where, like, you have a solid rookie season and you come back and you didn't really add anything. I mean, Terrence Ferguson is, like, the definition of that for the Thunder, right? Where his rookie season, you saw these flashes where you're like, oh, wow. And you even have, and, like, freaking Paul George. We got Paul George, like, pumping him up, like, oh, that's how I looked in my rookie season. Like, shut up, Paul. Like, shut up, Paul. You know?
Shut up. Yes.
It got everybody just so hyped up. And he just comes back and he's like, oh, he's kind of the same guy, you know?
Well, the second year was good. Like, he had that month where he shot, like, 40-something percent.
Yeah. But he didn't
add good
anything
in defense. The third,
he just shot well.
Yeah. Yes. And you can argue that the two best games of Terrence Ferguson were in his rookie season, which is never a good thing to say about the player.
It's never a good thing. Yeah, Tim with says Baisley, he's way off P again. I mean, that was a shot going off the backboard in the Western Conference semifinals. That's what that was. That Terrence Ferguson comment. My goodness,
he's the MP in Philly where they are dying to get people to take shots and, like,
yeah. And he will be all season. Like, you look through at their rotation, and there's just not any room for him. Anyways, my point was that we've had guys that have had good rookie seasons, like Basley did, and then come back and you're kind of the same guy. Basley's not the same guy.
Nope.
At all. I mean, he is confident. He's comfortable taking shots from anywhere on the court. He wants defensive assignments that are challenging. Mm-hmm. And he's a stat sheet stuffer. 15, 10, an assist, a steal, two blocks, only one turnover. And also, in 33 minutes, this is huge, huge progress. Yeah. One foul. One.
Yeah.
That is massive progress for him. And to really only have one foul from him, three fouls from Dort, and they both played basically 33, Dort 35 minutes, that's massive progress for those two to come in their second year and defend well without fouling. That's, to me, that's a huge indicator of progress.
Yeah, and let's talk a bit about Dort, because, of course, he had 30 points in the playoffs, and that will always be awesome. But if we look at the way in which he played last night, I think that he played a very, very good offensive game. He was complete, he was cutting, he was moving, he was using his size and strength to bully people at the rim and get easy baskets. And he took his threes. I mean, he didn't shy away from the threes. He was just way more balanced. I mean, four threes and how many? It was probably like 12 shots. So eight two-pointers, which were one long two that I really didn't understand, but happened somehow. And yep. Seven shots at the rim. That is very good distribution. And this is something that we didn't see from Dort. We saw glimpses of that, of a guy that was able to attack off the dribble, but he really used that as his primary weapon, which is something that he didn't do last season. He was not entirely comfortable on doing that. Mm-hmm. So I really like that. And again, offensively, really well. Defensively, was just sensational. It was just all over the place. And in the third quarter, when OKC really made the run that decided the game, almost, well, in the end, yes, but with a few drama moments, dramatic moments, right. He was the best defender on the court. It was just everywhere. And I mean, I love to watch these guys develop. I just love that.
Yeah. Sam Presti's got some work to do, Michele.
Yeah.
Because he had his draft last year, the 2019 draft, was too good. Like, he did too well. He picked Dort up off the scrap heap. He drafted Darius Bazley. Both very good players, starting level players already. And not even in like a forced way. Like, I think these guys start on lots of teams around the NBA. Mm-hmm. They don't start for every team. Like, Bazley won't start for every team, but these guys start for a lot of teams. And they just have to find landing spots for George Hill and Al Horford. At least just, like, ship George Hill off, like, pretty quick. Because he's way too good. Like, this starting lineup, too good to tank. Way too good to tank. Yeah. And if they're going to play, and I love the minute distribution from all of them, even George Hill in 24 minutes, it's like, that's too much! Too much! get him out of here. It's like, he didn't even play that much. But we got to get him out of here. And then I just love the minutes distribution for this team. I mean, Mark Degnault tried. He played Tommy 20 minutes. He's really trying. He played Kendrick Williams 16 minutes. He's trying. Yeah. He's trying to get the loss here. I'm joking. Like, that's all tongue in cheek for sure, because this team wants to win. Like, the guys, the coaching staff, the players on the court, they're playing to win games. And it's the job of Sam Presti and his staff to get them to where they want them to be. And the fact is, like, they're just not there yet. If you get George, I mean, honestly, maybe if you just get George Hill off the team and you get 24 competent minutes off of the court, and you feel like you have to play Justin Jackson or Hami or Kendrick Williams in those minutes, then it's like, okay. Like that, I mean, he scored 21 points on nine shots.
Yeah. So not Trae Young good, but.
Not Trae Young, where Trae Young is like trying to setting records out there for fewest amount of shots. I mean, he had 40 something on 12 shots the other night. I mean, just.
Yeah, 37, I think.
It's just so sick. Just so sick.
Yeah.
But they've got work to do. You can't continue to put this good of a product out on the court and expect to get the fifth pick in the draft. You just can't. They just can't do it. Like, they just have to, and they'll find a landing spot for him. Like, George Hill, can you name a team he wouldn't help or that he wouldn't play on? He could play for a lot of teams.
Yeah, you can name teams that cannot get him. You can name a few, but not because, like, it's because of cup rules and stuff like that. But
sure.
Everyone that can, like, I don't think there is a clear way to put him in LA or to the Clippers, which are two teams that might really benefit from him. Mm-hmm. I think that probably the Clippers are really looking into moving Lou Williams or Pat Beverly. But yeah, I mean, if it's everywhere. I mean, can you imagine him in Brooklyn? I mean, he's the perfect guy to have there. I mean, you have already two very good guards, but if you have three that can play together with KD and LaVert and whoever, why not? Do you really need Torian Prince? I don't think so. You probably don't need a a first round pick in 2024. Mm-hmm. So let's just do it. Like, there is a lot of, there are a lot of teams out there that can benefit from George Hill. I mean, mm-hmm. you just, but if you're Presti, you need really to play this out correctly.
Yeah.
Like, if you wait a bit more, you may get a better pick. But if you wait too much, this team is too good to tank.
They are. Too good to tank. It's unfortunate, but they definitely are. And a huge, not every coach could do this. We'll start there. And this is one game, but not every coach could get them here. Mark Degnall's doing a really good job.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm not talking about the Billy Donovan Bulls, which they've been super terrible.
Yeah, it's doing its job perfectly. What can you say?
Oh, man.
Cade plus Patrick Williams plus, I don't know, Markkanen.
This is not...
corpse of LaVine.
It is good, but this is not the job he signed up for. I'll tell you that. He didn't leave OKC to go tank in Chicago.
Who knows? Maybe the plan is just get Cade, and then we will spend a lot to get a premier free agent like Tobias Harris. I don't know.
Oh, free agent. Yeah, right.
it's just the guy.
Oh man.
Maybe Oladipo. This is the plan. Like, be bad so that we can get Oladipo next season and be 35-38 win team again.
I'm glad he's gone, because I think that Mark Degnall is doing a really fantastic job with this team. The rotations are really good. You're still getting minutes for Pokuševski in there, which not every coach is going to play Poku. That's and obviously there is some alignment there with the front office that exists, because if not, we don't see 11 minutes from Poku and 20 minutes from Maledon. We don't see that. You probably see Justin Jackson getting minutes. Really? Probably even like Darius Miller getting minutes.
Wait.
What?
Stop for a second. Wait. Mm-hmm. Why should a coach play Justin Jackson more than Theo or Poku? Give me an explanation.
Just because he's been in the league. That's it.
Okay. Is that enough?
He played... Listen... Justin Jackson, I know he sucks. He's super terrible. He super duper sucks. But he played for the Kings, crap franchise, and he did play for the Mavs.
Really play for the Mavs? Or was he a guy to put there just because they didn't have anything else?
Sure. I'm just saying that not every coach is going to give Alexei Pokuševski the minutes. I'm just saying I'm really glad that we've got a coach that will.
Yeah. Yeah, but you see, like, I've watched a few minutes of Miami, and Precious was out there playing. I mean, on offense, he's not great, but you put him out there.
Mm-hmm.
You just do training on the fly. Like, this is what you should do. I mean, if you're a good coach and you have an 18-year-old guy, barely 19, who's not doing anything super wrong, and I really think that Mark subbed him off. Well, my coach Degnall, it's not my friend, so I should call him at least. Like, subbed him out because, like, to save himself. Because I think if I leave him out there, it's not that I really care about what is going to happen on the court, but I'm afraid that in terms of development, this is not good for him.
Yeah.
And because, like, Poku was really mad at himself and I don't think he should be. Like, yes, you should have gone like 2 out of 6. But those are good shots. So I don't think he's mad about the way in which he played. But you're right. I mean, I don't think that a coach like Degnold wants to lose. He clearly wants to develop guys because this is part of the deal.
Yeah.
But losing is not part of the deal. Having to coach a team that is not ready to win is part of the deal. Mm-hmm. And like in his shoes, I would do the same. Like, try to win at all costs. Show the way in which you can win. Show the adjustments. Like,
that's his job.
The
defensive schemes. That is his job, is to win games.
Yeah.
That's his purpose. Yeah.
And to put, implementing complicated way to win games and to scheme out the opponent's efficiencies and to play like good defense, it's important because a player learns how to play in a complicated system. Will this lead to a few more wins? Sure, but it's fundamental. Like, there are players that are in the league from a while and don't know how to play that way. You're just like randomly jacking up shots or whatever. You don't need to do that. So I'm really glad that this team is playing, and it's beautiful to watch. Yeah, of course, when there is, I don't know, Roby and Justin Jackson and whoever on the court, or tonight Kenrich Williams, which really put everything he had on the court, or Hami, or, I don't know, Poku, Maledon, you will see a lot of misses, and probably the other team having a nice run. But it's not like bad basketball, it's just they're missing shots.
Yeah. I agree. The front office has got some more work to do if they want to get to where they want to go. Because the players are completely bought in to what Coach Degnaut wants them to do, and they're executing it well. And we need some Justin Jackson in our life. We need our homeschool basketball player to come and lead us to the fifth pick in the draft. That's what we need.
Yeah, and there are teams that will look to trade for guys that OKC has. I see Toronto as a team that cannot really afford a down season. And they are 0-2. I'm not saying that they are as bad, but probably they miss something at the center position. Will they look hard at like acquiring Horford? Can they even do that? I have to check. Probably Norman Powell. We already discussed that. Probably Norman Powell has to be involved.
Yeah. He does. That's what makes it tough is the money for them to get there. He would help them a ton. And now that Giannis is off the table, because it was always going to be a no.
Yeah.
Until Giannis is off the table. Now Giannis is off the table. So now if you throw Horford into the Lowry, VanVleet, Ananobi, Siakam lineup, oh boy.
Yeah.
That's your starting lineup. It's really nice. And I don't know what else OKC could throw in there to help them, because they still will need help off the bench. Because if they trade Norman Powell, then...
Kenrich?
Kenrich?
No, seriously. Seriously. He's a guy that knows how to play. He's not great, but he knows what to do and how to play.
Yeah. Yeah, he's fun. But then, like, Chris Boucher is actually pretty good. But then, like, Bembry and Matt Thomas, like those are guys that are playing for them. Maybe Malachi Flynn can get it together enough to play this season.
Yeah, maybe so.
That would be, he could be a helpful player to them. But I mean, Horford helps them quite a bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me see if I can pull up the trade machine to see if we can get Horford there. Do you have any other Horford ideas? He's going to be the tough one. He's going to be the really difficult one to trade on this roster. It's Hill. His contract is good. He's obviously a guy that can fit on a lot of teams. I don't think that they'll struggle to find a landing spot for him.
Money wise is complicated, but I still think that a team like the Wizards could use Horford a lot. Thomas Bryant is not any like.
He scored on the opponent's basket last night. Did you see that?
Yeah. I saw that.
Thomas Bryant.
That is depressing.
He dunked on the wrong basket.
Wrong.
Okay, Al Horford wrong. To the Raptors. And here's where it's difficult, because they can't trade Siakam, Lowry, or VanVleet for him. So, like, Norm Powell.
Aaron Baines.
10.8. Aaron Baines, 7. Oh, I'd love to have Aaron Baines in the Thunder locker room. That would be fun.
You're too far away.
Yeah, it's not close enough. And then, like, Stanley Johnson? Wait, no. Is he on the team?
I don't think so.
I don't think he's on the team either. Pat McCaw, $4 million. Wonderful.
Do they have him? It's 21.
Yeah. They do. They have him.
Yeah.
Still not there.
No, it's because of the Baines restriction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that close enough money wise?
Probably.
I think it actually might be.
21 times 1.2.
I think after that trade restriction is lifted, it could be enough.
Yeah, maybe you need a hair more, but.
Yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Anybody else?
Wizards? Horford? Can you see if the Wizards somehow can create a
package?
Let's
see. Thomas Bryant, 8.3.
Yeah, coming back to OKC. Ish Smith
makes 6. I don't know, man. I don't know that we can get there.
No, there's nothing else. This is the
struggle that Thunder will have with trading Horford. It's the same one they had, frankly, with Chris Paul.
Yeah,
where it's like, yeah, there's like 3 teams we feel like could trade for him.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams that may be better trading for Horford, but it's not really. They don't have to do it right now. The Warriors clearly, the Kings. Yes, they can, but yeah, I just have to put there Harrison Barnes.
Barnes, yeah. Would you do that?
No.
Barnes has got 3 years left.
No. It's horrible. It's a bad contract. I don't want to. And to be honest with you, if you remove George Hill, even if you keep Horford, you are. The point is not like trading Horford away and keeping George Hill means more minutes for Muscala, which is worse than Horford, but not as much as playing Hill. Well, if you don't play Hill, probably you start either Williams or Justin Jackson or Hami, which is horrible for your starting unit. If you don't have Horford and you play Muscala, you play the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
People are asking about Portland in the chat for Horford. I don't know that you can get there with Portland.
Well, I mean, money-wise, but you...
But who is it, though? How do you get there money-wise?
Because
they're not trading Dame, CJ, Nurkic, Covington.
No.
They're not trading those guys. You can't trade those guys. So then it's like Rodney Hood and Derek Jones Jr. get you to about 20. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. You do that, you probably ask for Zach Collins. Those 3 players. 1, 2, 3. It will not work because of the restriction. Yeah.
Can you get Zach Collins? You think you can get Zach Collins for Horford?
Well, will he ever be healthy enough to play in the NBA?
I don't know.
You don't get any other assets, clearly. It's just...
No. I mean, I think that's already too much.
For that's the idea of Zach Collins or for the real play? How many games did he play in the league?
I don't know.
Yeah, me neither. I'm gonna check, though.
I don't know. But, man, I would... I mean, if I'm Portland, I don't do that. I would... You like Anthony Simons?
No.
I mean, maybe... Remember all the hype around Anthony Simons?
Yeah. Yeah,
huge hype train.
It's 154 games.
Yeah,
that's not great. Like 66 year one, 77 year two, 11 last season.
11.
Yeah,
that's bad. That's super bad.
And can you guess the average points?
Over 4?
5.7. 32% from 3, 72% from the line, 47% over the last two seasons.
Maybe you do it then.
Like, the idea of Zach Collins is way above his production. And trust me, I watch every single game of Zach Collins in college.
Yeah,
he's great. But he has to stay healthy to be proved. Like, you get Horford, you save probably the season because you have a big man that can play.
Yeah, I don't love the fit.
No, because you have to play Nurk.
You want Al Horford to be your center. Like,
yeah.
The end.
Yeah.
And if he's not, we saw what happened in Portland last year. Yeah. I don't love the fit. It's going to be tough to get him to where you want him to go, Al Horford. But not my job. Sam Presti's job. Sam, find this guy a landing spot, will ya? Let's see. Let's go to some questions in the chat. We had one from Jess, African Kiwi. She says, hi from Perth, Australia. Thanks so much for listening. She says, Merry Christmas. I love tracking with you guys season by season. Is your heart loving Russ on the Wizards this season? I feel so much joy now that he's no longer with Houston.
Yeah, me too. I'm probably going to watch a bit more of the Wizards now that he's there, Rui's there. They have a lot of shooting. I have to see how they lost with the crazy hot Orlando Magic. They seem to be very good at the beginning of the season every single year, and then they flame out quite easily. Maybe this is what happens again. But
they scored 38 points in the fourth quarter, the Wizards did. Or the Magic did.
Yeah.
Oh, this is Magic Wizards. This is the this is the fantasy game of our dreams here.
Yeah. By the way, yes, those are equations because my on my shirt. I'm a nerd. I hope that was clear even before this hoodie, but no, I'm sure Russ is fun to watch and
is even more
fun when he doesn't play for a team that you despise. I'm glad that he's there. I hope that they will win a bit more than what they are doing currently because they are talented. They are talented enough to win 35 games this season. 32 games this season. 34 games. I don't know. Around 50%. And I hope they get there sooner rather than later.
I do too. They're fun. Russ had two triple doubles in two games. They've lost both games so far. Not wonderful, but I still have faith that they can get it together.
Damos had a triple double.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Yeah. I watched the first game. Damos is awesome. He's just doing everything.
Oh, boy. 22, 10, and 11.
Yeah. It's just like doing all the things that a good player should do on the court.
Very interesting.
I just love him.
Let's see. We'll go to some questions in the chat. We have Adam Brandt wants to know if Boston can get Horford. It's the easiest trade to do. It's the very easiest trade to do because all you have to do is just trade him into the trade exception, and then you can take back a small asset. I think it's a great trade for the Thunder. Because one, you get Horford out of here. He can stop helping you win games immediately. And you don't have to take back a player that's helpful.
Yeah.
And you can, they take Boston's lottery protected or top 20 protected pick back?
Yeah.
For 21?
I don't think they will. I don't think that this trade happens. I think it's a good trade for them. You can even ship both Hill and Horford for the corpses of Teague and whoever. They don't like.
They kind of need Teague, though.
But if they have George Hill, they don't need Teague.
If they can get George Hill, they don't need Teague. Yeah, no, that's true.
It's, I don't know. I don't like the fit. It's not that I don't like the fit. I like to have an extra ball handler, but Teague is not really a player that I like.
And
the point is, what do you do? Do you trade Tristan Thompson to OKC? Because if you don't, you don't really have time for him. If Orford is there, you may get away with having Tice and Orford playing like 10 minutes together.
Sure.
I would just trade to them George Hill, period.
Just give him George Hill.
Yeah, yeah. Again, Hill should be the number one target. Because Horford, again, I don't know. I have a feeling that even if Al is there, it's not that he's going crazy. George Hill will go crazy. He will help OKC win. Because he's an efficient player that if you give him open shots like they did in Milwaukee, he's a guy that can shoot 50% from three. He did that. You know that it can happen, and he will keep shooting when he's open. The only way to limit his impact is to play him 24 minutes like they did.
Yeah.
Which is something that you can do, but only to a certain degree. Because when he is hot, what do? Says, not your time yet. It's not going to work.
No, it won't work. Hello from the Philippines, Arnold Gamboa. Thanks so much for listening. Do we have any news on Ariza? Trevor Ariza is not going to play for the Thunder, not going to join the team. Mm-hmm. They're going to try to find a landing spot for him. That's the plan. He won't be on the Thunder ever. Michael Klampa says he can't stop thinking about Hill and Horford to the Warriors. They need them bad. If they want to be any good, and let's just be very clear. The Thunder are not getting James Wiseman or the Minnesota pick in any trade unless it involves Shea.
No, I don't know that. Maybe suppose that the Wolves somehow are better than expected and by the deadline they are.
Oh, yeah. If at the deadline 60%. The Timberwolves, if it's looking like it's going to be like the 12th pick.
But even better. I don't think that if it's a lottery, if the projection is lottery, you don't get it. If it's not lottery, then do you really take that for Wiggins? Because it's the only way to get Horford there.
Yeah.
They won't pay, so you need to get Wiggins. And I don't think they want Horford. They just want Hill for Wiggins. That is a trade that I can see happening. Because you lower the tax bill by a lot.
A lot.
It works immediately because you have the Steven Adams trade exception, so I think it works. I have to check if the two salary matches, but you can work it out. You can renounce the trade exception. Then you are under the salary floor. You trade Hill to them.
It's not enough. It's not Steven Adams' trade exception is not enough.
Well, you can do it. Forget about the way. I mean, OKC is currently under the salary floor, so they can renounce all the trade exceptions. I hope that John will not kill me for saying this. And then they can just acquire Wiggins into their cap space. The trade just works. So do you really get Wiggins?
That's not worth it. That's not worth it.
You need two first-round pick for that, at least.
Yeah.
So you need to get Wiggins 2021 from the Warriors and the Minnesota pick. This is how you do it.
Yeah. That contract is so bad.
Mm-hmm.
He's just super sucks. He's terrible. He's like Justin Jackson with a green light.
Yeah. Which, or Kelly Oubre.
You can't get, well, they can't trade Kelly Oubre.
No, I mean, I was saying that Wiggins is Kelly Oubre because they are the same.
Yeah.
They're really the same player. They're so bad.
They've both been super terrible so far. That team is rough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now they have one good player.
Yeah.
Like James Wiseman's producing, but I don't think he's not good yet. Then like people, for whatever reason, people on podcasts love to pump up Brad Wanamaker. Yeah, no thanks. Marquise Chris plays entirely too much for them.
Yeah.
Eric Pascal exposed for who he is. That team sucks. That team is terrible. They just need guys. They need dudes.
Yeah, and the point is, like, I know that you don't put a lot of effort and money to get an asset this season, which will not change anything, and a guy that I clearly cannot pronounce his name because it's written with characters that I don't recognize, says, what do you think the Warriors' realistic ceiling is? Not high, and this is why you don't trade the bank for this season, but think about it this way. Like, George Hill is a guy that will help you today and tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's a very reasonable contract to have. You can renounce to Oubre. If you move away from Wiggins, it means millions saved for you.
Yeah.
And a player that makes sense whenever Clay comes back. So you basically get Sean Livingston with a three-point shot, which is exactly the player you need to make everything work. I don't know the price, though. The price tag is the real issue here, because you don't want to trade away your first round pick entirely, because if it happens to be the number one pick, you really don't want that. But if you don't, then OKC says, too bad, I don't get Wiggins for the number 20 pick in the draft. It's just not going to happen.
No, he's actually like the ultimate tanking player.
Yeah, but he's also a player that disrupts whatever you're doing on the court. He's one of those guys that I was mentioning before, like a guy that is not used to playing in a certain system and he's just whatever.
Hey, Minnesota's won more games than the Warriors at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that I don't know that the beginning of the season is so wacky, almost always, where you have these teams that the Kings are doing it right now, even. They're winning games.
The Hawks.
Is this the year the Sacramento Kings get it together? Listen, guys, it's not.
Maybe.
It's
maybe,
not.
Maybe, but it's...
Yeah, see? This is what we do. It's not. It's not. The Kings are going to be terrible.
No, it is possible. It is possible that they are better than expected. It is always possible. My point is...
Yeah.
You should not conclude that by the results of the first 2 days of the season.
Yeah.
This is also, another suggestion that I want to make to everyone that looks into numbers and blah, blah, blah. Don't use single game plus minus and even the plus minus of the first, I would say, 15 games.
I was going to say, wait 20 games.
Exactly.
Before we draw any kind of conclusion.
Exactly.
You need, even after 5 games, you're gonna think you have a feel for what's happening in the league. No. Wait 20 games, and then we can have discussions on, okay, this team clearly needs this. This team is
exactly.
You can figure in the 20 games, you can figure out what teams are. In five games, and, no.
And it may happen that you have like a feeling or you have an idea of the team, and that could be right. Like, you could have a very good idea after 2 games, after 4 games, after whatever. Just don't use numbers to prove your point when it's too early. Yeah. Because there is a lot of noise. A lot of noise. The bubble numbers are useless for a single player. They do tell you something if you take the entire bulk of shots. And you can say that in that particular environment, the players shoot a better percentage, and you can even infer that it has to do with the location, with even the echo that the ball makes, because you hear it. Like, that you can do. So I'm not saying that don't make prediction, because like after 20 games is mathematically possible to make very accurate projections. So it's just reality. You can make prediction before, but just don't use the wrong numbers and the wrong tools to make prediction. You can say, well, what I'm seeing for the Thunder is they are playing a certain way. Great. and that way will lead to open shots. Great. This is a great way to process. It's not that, well, OKC shot 28% on open shots, therefore we will be bad. No, that you cannot do.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Listen to Michele on that one. Michael Clampett says, so my projection of OKC going 72-0 with Shea hitting 72 game winners may not come to fruition.
It's very probable that it comes to fruition. So let's bet on that. And I don't know.
Now that that's out in the universe, Michael, it's all over for us. Okay, thanks so much for listening to our pod. It's good to be back. We'll have more shows for you this week. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope that you're spending time with your family and the people that mean the most to you. We appreciate you guys hanging with us on the stream and listening to our show. If you could leave us a 5-star Apple Podcast review, that is extremely helpful for us. It's a nice little after Christmas gift that you could give our show. Hope you guys just have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you guys again on Wednesday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.